Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. I want to cover verses 7 through 18 with you this morning. Now, we were looking at the first six verses last week, and we see an allegory. We see a picture where the Lord teaches us of man's sin and ruin, and his fall and rebellion against the true and living God. And Elimelech, who's the husband of Naomi, Elimelech, like Adam, rebelled against God. And he carried his wife and children into bondage, into ruin. He left Israel and during the time of that providential famine that the Lord had brought, he left Israel and he went down to Moab. And it pictures Adam bringing all of his posterity, all of mankind, into sin and rebellion against God. And Elimelech did this by living in Moab with his wife and children. He separated himself from the people of the Lord. And then we saw how Elimelech died in unbelief, and it speaks of the children that they had, of Mahlon and Chilion. And these two were the fruit between Naomi and Elimelech, but we see how their fruit, it didn't do anything good for Naomi. Those sons didn't rise up and say, you know, Mom, let's go back to Israel. Let's go back and seek the Lord again. We've sinned in being here. Let's go back home and be with the people of God and hear his word. They didn't do that. And it's a picture of our sin, showing how nothing we do, nothing we bring forth of this flesh is fruit unto the praise and glory of God. It's not righteous fruit. It doesn't bring us nearer to our God. It doesn't please our God. And so they also sinned in taking wives for themselves from Moab, and they too died in rebellion against the Lord. And Naomi is left alone. But the Lord was gracious to Naomi. The Lord was gracious to Naomi. While she was yet living in Moab, while she was yet in bondage to her sin and in unbelief and having done nothing good, God graciously sent her the gospel. He sent her the word of God, and he declared to her how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And this is what the Lord does for his people. In power and in grace, he's merciful to his people, who are undeserving, who are sinners, and in rebellion against him, God is merciful to his people. And so he brings that word and he bears forth the fruit in her of the Spirit, whereby she hears the word. She receives the word. She believes the word. And we see a picture of what faith does in the believer, the gift of God, that gift of faith, in that she arose. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Based on that report that she heard in the country of Moab, while she was yet in the wilderness, how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And that's what faith does. Faith rises and follows the Lord. Rises and follows the Lord. Today, we're going to look at the picture that the Lord gives us here of true faith. Faith that endures. Faith endures is the title of the message. And so let's begin here where we see that the Lord is showing us what he's unfolding here in this text is that we see the expression of faith. We see the profession of faith that people make in claiming, in declaring that they believe the Lord. And we have that expression of faith in Naomi. We see what Naomi does, but what about her two daughters-in-law? And that's the focus of this passage here for us, of these two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. So verse 7 now, Ruth 1, verse 7. Wherefore Naomi went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on in the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now here, these two daughters-in-law are following Naomi. They're following the faith of Naomi at this point. But them following Naomi, that's not a confession of faith. They haven't professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ here. And we have pictures of that. We bring our children to services with us. We bring them to hear the gospel. We bring them where the Lord has brought us, where he's teaching us the gospel. And in like manner, we bring our children to hear that gospel. And why do we do that? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. We know that this is how the Lord reveals faith in his people. He brings them, he causes them to hear the gospel, and many hear the gospel, but he calls out his chosen elect children. He gives them an ear of faith to hear what's being said, and they believe it. And so that's why we bring our children to hear the gospel. But children coming with their parents to hear the gospel, that's not the same as coming to Christ. That's not looking to Christ by faith. And there's a lot of people in the churches, in the so-called churches, who come to services and they equate that with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They think that that is salvation, that that means that God is pleased with them and their works. But the Lord shows his children that faith, our salvation, is much more than just doing religious services and religious works. We believe Christ. We believe that Christ is our Christ, that he's my Savior, because I'm the sinner. He shows his children that we are the sinners, that we have offended holy God, and we can't clean our hands. We're the filthy sinners, worthy of death and damnation, and Christ is the Savior, and he's the salvation we need. His blood cleansing us from all sin. And so that's what the Lord does for his people. He reveals faith in them that looks to Christ as their Savior. We don't simply believe that Christ is God and that he is the Savior. You know, the devils believe the same thing. They know that Christ is God. The devils know that Christ is the Savior. They know what he did there on the cross was accomplish the salvation of his people. But it's not for them. They believe it, and it means nothing to them. And that's as far as most people ever go. They understand. They realize, oh, yep, that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the Savior of men. And that's all they know. But they don't ever see him as their Savior. They don't need him. They don't need his salvation, his blood. They're not looking to him in that way. And so believers know, if I have not Christ, I shall perish in my sins. I have no hope with God except Christ wash me with his blood. Ruth 1, 8, in the beginning of 9 says, Naomi said unto her daughters, her two daughters-in-law, go, return, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Is God really going to bless these women in their idolatry if they go back to their mother's house and live under the house of their husbands? Is God really going to bless these two women in idolatry like that? Well, we know the answer. No, he's not. So what is Naomi doing? Why is she saying this to these two young women? Why is she sending them back to idolatry when they seem willing to go with her? We know that Naomi is a godly woman. Naomi is a woman of faith, and she's been recovered by her Lord, and now she's heading back to Judah, that place where God is meeting with his people and feeding them the bread of heaven. So why is Naomi tempting these girls to turn back? Well, it helps us to recognize and understand that this is an allegory. This is a true story. This really happened to these women. This really happened, but there's an allegory. There's a teaching for us in the gospel. It says, Paul writes to us in Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so the Lord is setting forth here these gospel truths. This is an allegory, and he's teaching us the gospel. He's teaching us how that he saves his people by faith, and there are many who have a profession, but they don't endure, and they do fall away, so that we don't presume and we cry out and seek the Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord, save me. Let that not become so of me. Because I see so many make a profession and so many fall away and die in their sins. Lord, I need Christ. I need your salvation. I need your mercy. He teaches his children that we ever hunger and thirst for his righteousness and find satisfaction in Jesus Christ alone and not the things of this world and not other ways and lies and idolatry. And so we're told here, so when you see it's an allegory, we'll pick up so much more. We'll understand, why is Naomi doing this? It's a picture, and I'll show you that in a moment. So they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And there's many people that set off for the land of Judah looking for eternal life. There's many people that begin to set off for the land of Judah looking for eternal life. A lot of people do that. We grew up with many people that seem to have a real interest in the Lord. And they began to seek the Lord early in life like some of us did. But the way the Lord is using Naomi here is a picture or a type of the hand of God's providence. She's a type here of God's hand of providence in the life of the people, especially his children. And that providence, we know God's providence tries the faith or the profession of faith of many. Every child of God is going to be tried by providence. Our faith is going to be tried. It will be proved to be false or genuine. It'll be proved by the Lord. It's either, as Peter said, found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, or it's not found and is discovered to be nothing more than the flesh. And so providences of life, they arise and they try that faith of many. There's trials from one's parents. My parents can be a trial to a young professing believer when their parents hear of it and they don't believe. And they discourage their children from continuing on. And they tell them, oh, that's just fairy tales. That's just meant to give you good moral character, but don't take it too seriously. Don't listen to what they're saying there. And there's other kinds of trials from family, from spouses, or from children when they get sick, right? When they get sick, that could be a real trial of faith and cause you to wonder, Lord, what's going on? Why aren't you taking care of me? Why are you allowing this to happen? And there's a lot of people that will get put into that difficulty and really feel that in their heart if they don't say it out loud. And they're tried with the providences. There's trials through jobs. difficulties on the job, or sometimes great success on the job that leads to a career. And that can be a real trial for someone's faith, to suddenly have all this opportunity come before you, and the opportunity of great riches, even schooling, right? And wanting to, you know, putting before anything else the need for a certain type of education or to go to a certain place, even though there's no gospel church there for the child to go to. And that can be a great difficulty, especially when that child is just out of the home and now having all these opportunities to do things that they never would have done while in the house. And so friends and peer pressures, boyfriends, girlfriends, all these things can really try the faith of the professing believer. And even as we see here, believers can try the faith of others. You know, it's not a small thing that sometimes we fail and we disappoint and we stumble. And others see that and they get discouraged. And there are some people that have called attention to the hypocrisy of another and use that to justify their own sins and their own rebellion. And so even believers, true believers, fall into sin. Just look at David. A man after God's own heart had a man murdered and took his wife and committed adultery with her and murdered him to cover it up, to try and cover it up. And so there's all kinds of providential trials that try the faith of God's people. It's just so. And Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We all go through the trial of faith. It's being accomplished in you. You're not alone. It's being accomplished in your brethren as well. And the Lord is teaching them and keeping them and proving that which is his to the praise, glory, and honor of his name at his appearing. And so these women were tried and they could have departed, but instead we see them press on. They press on in faith. And Naomi here, as the hand of providence so often is, she challenged their faith. She challenged their profession. She challenged their following in the Lord. So let's pick up in verse 9 and 10. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. What an encouragement. The trial seemed to be sanctified to their hearts. It seemed to all seemed to be well and going good. And so they're continuing on in their profession. And so, you know, there's a similarity here to what we see in the parable that our Lord gave us, the parable of the sower of the seed, where the seed was received into different ground, into different places. And so we see here how these two have endured the first two places where the seed had fallen in the parable that our Lord gives. Right, the first seed was taken away by the fowls of the air, and that's because that gospel seed fell by the wayside. And the way the Lord describes that is, those who hear that word and don't understand it, they just push it aside. There's nothing there to receive it. They don't understand it. They just look at it and say, that's foolishness. There's nothing there for me. And that word is taken away. Well, clearly, these two young women have endured that and gone further than that. And then the second one that we see these women doing is they endured the temptation. And that first temptation came to them by Naomi saying, go and return. Go back. Be turned back. Don't go any further than this. You sure you want to do this? There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be trials. this is going to not be easy. You sure you want to do this? Why don't you just go and return now? And that's the way that persecution and offenses come to us. We that believe, when we begin to profess Christ, and suddenly you receive, you hear how others react to it and say, what? You're a believer now? I don't like that. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Put that foolishness away. Stop that now. And they persecute you. They try to make you feel small and try and belittle that which is your hope. And many get offended in themselves who are professing this faith in Christ. They get offended at the persecution and the difficulties that they begin to receive from others. And this is like those that receive that gospel seed but have no root in Christ. And our Lord describes that as he that received the seed into stony places. And because there's no root in Christ, when the scorching heat comes, whether by persecution or that burning sensation of offense, I've been offended. And they turn back because of the word. By and by, he is offended. And so many go and return, and they go back to their previous profession. And oftentimes, if you've spoken to others about the truth and they've heard it to a degree, how often do they actually not only go back, but they actually are worse going forward? They just go full bore in living in sin and in unrighteousness. And many do that, who are turned away. But instead of being offended by this trial here, we see that it brought about tears, it brought about words and hugging and being encouraged, and they agreed to continue on in faith. But it was a very emotional decision. It was an emotional decision. And all of us knows that those decisions that often we make in emotion, in high emotion situations, we often don't follow through with those things that we said we would do. And high emotion decisions often become nothing. We don't follow through. And one man I heard say, anything born in the storm dies in the calm. Anything born in the storm dies in the calm. Because, yeah, we say we're going to do a lot of things when the heat's on and when there's difficulties. And we say, Lord, I'll do anything you want. Just save me from this. And then as soon as things calm down, many people forget anything they said and said they were going to do. But these women, they endure a little longer, only the trials didn't stop. The trials continued to come against them. Look at verse 11. Naomi says, here she says again, turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me? Why will you go with me? That's actually a faithful question. And it is a question that oftentimes we hear when we're in the trial and when things are hard and there's difficulties and we ask, Lord, what's going on? And will I endure? Lord, help. And it's a faithful question because it does bring us to ask, what do we love more? Do we love this world? Do we want these things just to go away? Or do we love Christ? And is this what he calls me to? If he's calling me to this, and these are the trials that he's bringing by his hand, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Keep me. Keep my wandering heart. Keep my filthy heart. Cleanse me, Lord. Deliver me and help me to follow after you and forsaking all these things and these difficulties. Let me not worry about them or fear them or be turned away from you because of them. And so these questions, these trials that bring up this question, it serves as a reminder of him whom we love. And it confirms to us, you that endure, it confirms to us that he is more precious than this world. I need him more than all these other things. Sure, I could do things that would take away the heat and the difficulty now, but I love you, Lord. Where else can I go? To whom can we turn? You alone have the words of eternal life, Lord. And that's what he brings his children to see. That's why you've continued and why you're not turned away. Because he's precious to you, more precious than life itself to you. And that's what he's revealing to his children. So next we see, as we go on in verse 11 through 13, these young women begin to be troubled with the cares of this life. Right? They've gone through the disregarding the word. They understood something and they followed. And they endured the persecution and the offenses, but now they're going to be tried with the cares of this world. Naomi asks, "Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Now, this is the trial that proves that faith, that profession that Orpah had, that God was not the author of her faith. That faith was of her flesh. That was of her own profession. And she was tried with the cares of this life, and under that trial, she fell short of eternal life. She didn't endure. Orpah wanted a husband, and she wanted children. And she decided, that's too much for me. I'm not giving that up. That's what I need. And so she turned back. And it says, verse 14, "They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law." In other words, she was turned back. And Orpah was saying there, Christ can have everything, but he can't have that. You can take anything you want, Lord, but don't you touch that. That's too important to me, and I'm not going to accept that. And so she was turned away. And that's a picture of that seed falling among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them out. And it's as our Lord said in Matthew 13:22, because that's where you can find that parable of the seed and the sower. Matthew 13:22. "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." And so Orpah was turned from the Lord, and she turned back to this world. And that often is the one that takes a lot longer in people's lives, in our profession, before we're turned away. It's just those cares. It's that job and that success, or something happens that we think can't possibly happen to a believer, and we fall away because of those cares and wants more than the Lord. But the Lord's people will endure. He keeps us. He keeps us because he shows us that he's more precious than those things. All right, verse 14. "They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And Naomi said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go." You know, before I go on there, isn't that the prayer that the Lord teaches us? "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Lord, please don't let me fall away. Don't turn me. Don't let me be turned away like so many. I know my own wandering heart. I know I have no strength. I have no ability, Lord, to stay upon you and to love you. But Lord, you've done this work in me, and I do love you, and I need you. Don't turn me away, Lord. Don't let me be turned away by these things. And that's what Ruth is saying here. And Ruth, what she confesses here, is more than just a love for Naomi. She really does love the God that Naomi worships. She loves the promise of God to save his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she says, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest or live, I will live. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. The Lord brought forth a true confession, a true need, a breathing after Christ. It was more than just Naomi. She understood that she was going to be among that people, that this is her God. He is the salvation. He is the Savior of all his people. And she wasn't a neglectful hearer. She was willing to face those difficulties. She was willing to endure the persecutions that she was surely going to receive there in the land of Judah because she was a Moabite. But she didn't care for those things. And she wasn't worried about that. She said, "This is I. If that's what I need to go through, that's what I'm going through because I need the Lord." And she had it in her. The Lord gave her that profession which endures to the end. And what we see there is that Ruth is a pattern of all who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. She's a pattern of you that believe. You whom the Lord has sent his word and fixed his word in your heart in the good ground prepared by him, by his spirit, in which you've heard that word and received that word. And it's settled in there and it's born roots, rooted in Christ, and endures the heat and the persecutions and rises up through the thorns and all the other things that come to take away, to sweep you away in the flood. But the Lord has kept you. And Ruth's a pattern there because she's heard that report, but it's more than just be a report. It's the truth. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And she sees that Christ alone is salvation, whom God has provided for his people freely, sending him in the likeness of this sinful flesh, but without sin. And he, having fulfilled all righteousness for his people, went willingly to the cross as our sacrifice, to be our propitiation, to be the means of our forgiveness with God and reconciliation to him. He gave his life, bearing our sin, dying our death, to put away our sin forever, that we might know the true and living God in peace and in joy and in rejoicing with him through the blood of Christ. And he sends his spirit, which sought you out and separated you unto this word and revealed faith in your hearts and proves that faith to you continually to this day, so that you endure, ever looking to Christ, making him most precious to you, showing you the weakness of your own heart. It's not that we know the weakness of this flesh. We know the enmity of this flesh, but he keeps you, ever looking to Christ, ever crying out to him, "Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. Forgive me for my shame, my shameful thoughts, my shameful deeds, my foolishness. But thank you, Lord, for keeping me. And that you've made Christ precious to me above all other things." And so our Lord, that's his work. He's keeping you. He's revealing that work which is in you was begun by the Lord, and therefore he'll complete it. He'll bring it to fruition. He'll complete it to the end, and you shall awake in glory in that day and see your Savior, your Lord and Savior, who will receive you into his arms in peace and in love. So bless your God. Continue on him. Continue in him. Don't be turned away. Don't be like foolish Orpah. And since we have no strength to do that, keep looking to him. Cry out to him. Beg him for mercy. And that is the cry of the child of God. And we rest in him and rejoice in him. I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts, brethren. Amen.